is GKW 200. 200th episode of Good Karma Wrestling. Welcome into it. It's a great weekend to have it. We've got a jam-packed show. A lot of things to dive into. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. Catch him ESPN 1000 in Chicago as well as SiriusXM every Sunday, 9 to noon. It's been keeping me company. It's been driving around on Sunday morning. Jonathan Hood. Again, Pro Wrestling Nation every Sunday, 9 until noon. All right, it's a busy weekend, boys. We've got WrestlePalooza. We've got All Out on Saturday before it during the afternoon for AEW. What is going to be the biggest story coming out of the weekend?
You know, that should be something from All Out. And that should be Kyle Fletcher against Hangman Page. And I would say that's going to be the best matchup of the weekend. But we already knew that, didn't we? I think that's going to be the case. But is there something from WWE, from WrestlePalooza, Brian, that you can come up with that you think there'll be bigger headlines than just being on ESPN direct-to-consumer?
I think because of the fact that they're going to try and outshine All Out and they're going to be the last thing we see, and I think the rumors are Cena and Brock is the main event, I think Dwayne might find some time in his schedule this weekend. And all of a sudden, ooh, that becomes a story. We're talking about The Rock. We forget about Hangman and Fletcher because it would have been 5 hours earlier. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, WWE is dominating the headlines, which ultimately seems to be the only thing they actually care about.
Look, I did not even think of Dwayne. Like, that did not cross my mind. And wow, if you were to come back now, I would be, so mad.
He's got to start building the Saudi. He's got a couple years to get ready.
Yeah, right. But in terms of WWE stealing headlines, like, I look at these cards and, you know, so I don't think Kyle Fletcher is going to be beating Hangman Page. I don't think that Hayter or Statlander or Tekla are going to be beating Timeless Tony Storm. Riho sure as hell ain't going to beat Mercedes.
No.
Right? When we're looking at some of these, you know, big championship changes we can have. We know we're going to be crowning a new women's world champion because Io Sky and Stephanie Vaquer are wrestling for that. But if you want something, this is too big of a weekend with them on WWE, on ESPN, All Out. This is one of their bigger shows of the year. There needs to be a title change somewhere. And I think that is Cody Rhodes losing. I think Drew McIntyre finally going up and over and having the shock factor of Drew McIntyre walking out as the undisputed world champion. I think that's going to be the story of the wrestling weekend. I think that's how you steal headlines and go, oh, because Cody's been making the rounds. He was on, you know, he was on ESPN radio and television today. I think you steal the headlines by going, oh, look at Drew McIntyre. He finally got over. He finally won that world championship.
So guys, so are we believing that there's nothing AEW can do to be able to steal the headlines? They got the better card. So.
They do have the better card. If WWE just goes vanilla, because look, I really don't care what happens with Cena or Lesnar. Like, I just don't.
Yep.
It's just going to be a match that's on the card. If they just go vanilla and Cody wins and Rock doesn't come back, then it's going to be something from All Out to me. But WWE knows, like, Hunter's smart enough to know he needs something to make this an even bigger card because it's the first time they're on ESPN.
Yeah, I think we've seen them fall into that trap, that first Saturday night's main event where we fell for the trap. Like, oh, we got to do a post show. This is a huge show. And then everything was chalk. Everything was vanilla. It's like, that was just a normal night. Like, what are we doing? So I think because they have that, they're like, well, we have to do something. Drew winning definitely would be one of those somethings.
Now, you know what, Gabe, we talked about last week? Brian and I were trying to go through, like, what's the next surprises? Well, actually, the topic was because AJ Lee came back in Chicago and then she was in Milwaukee, those big pops that she had. And we asked, like, what's the next big pop? Meaning, what's the next big surprise where it gets the crowd on their feet? Like, I can't believe this person's back. I can't believe. And I think about it. On AEW side, they don't have anything outside of Eddie Kingston coming back against Big Bill. I don't see any surprises there. And over here, if there is no Rock or if there is no surprise in WWE, this could just be just wrestling messing with our college football Saturday. If we don't have anything significant out of one of these two shows, that's going to be like, well, I can see wrestling anytime. I can see great matches anytime. But something significant's got to come out of this. Some kind of surprise. AJ Lee's already happened for the first time in 10 years, which is awesome. Milwaukee was great to her. Chicago was great to her. But now, like, what from Saturday? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything. I mean, again, in terms of the big returns, like when Jericho goes back to WWE, like that'll get a big pop. And for AEW, it's whenever Cody goes back.
Right. Because, yeah, you mentioned title changes. Like, looking at the All Out card, Takeshita wins the Unified title?
Sure.
Like, is that sure. The only title change we see among the two shows?
That's the middle of the card, and then what?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, I can't imagine.
By default, like you said, Gabe, but, like, does that really count?
Yeah, I don't think so. Because I don't think, I mean, Brodito is too early in this to lose that ladder match. Again, Mercedes isn't dropping the TBS to Riho. I mean, Mox, you know, Darby Allin going over Mox, because beating Mox is still kind of a big deal. But that's obviously not for a championship.
Bryan Danielson says, I'm not going to interfere, which means he will interfere or do something. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But
he'll hold the coffin.
Yeah, it's just hold it open for me. Hold it steady.
But
you know what we're saying, though, Brian? You know what we're saying? Well, at GKW 200, we are officially saying that coming up on Saturday, WWE has no more cards to play.
Right.
Meaning, like, what significant thing can you give us in this show to say, oh my God, she or he is back?
No, that you have to do the two things we said. It's Dwayne, it's Drew winning the title. On the AEW side, if Fletcher is the new world champion, does that break through? Are we still talking about that Sunday morning over anything that happened at WrestlePalooza? Is that a big enough deal?
Again, if WrestlePalooza goes chalk, if Cody walks out as champ, and if Rock doesn't return.
So, like, then I think, card, do you play it, or is that too desperate of a move?
See, again, that's the problem with going on first, right?
Right.
Like, you don't know what they're going to do, and WWE's got the advantage of being able to, okay, you know, again, if they didn't do anything big, maybe they just sit back and go,
Yeah.
We're on ESPN for the first time. But also, like, I would love to see one of these. Everything outside of their tentpole events are basically house shows for WWE. Like, let's have a title change. Let's have something significant happen here, and having Cody Rhodes pin, you know, eat a pin against Drew McIntyre would be something significant, and go, oh, yeah, we got to make sure we're tuning into these things every time.
I do wonder, to your point, Gabe, like, to the college football comp hood, like, the WWE is playing defense first. They know what they have. If they see a big title change on All Out, they say, oh, we got to go for two. Sorry, Cody, Drew's going over tonight.
Okay, so I'll call it, because it's Triple H booking. So, as what Gabe laid out, it could very well be chalk, and the only thing significant come out of there is some kind of angle. Like Randy Orton turns on Cody, which is expected at some point. But, I mean, that's what I look at, because I don't know what other cards you play. You brought Brock back. You got AJ Lee back. So what card are you going to put out there to say, hey, man, this is significant? We'll always remember WrestlePalooza for this.
Well, and are you going to bury that significant angle before the main event? Like, because if the main event is Brock versus Cena.
Or Senna, as some people call him. On Monday Night Football. A little rough there.
John Cena. Thank you, Joe. There's a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, unless, again, to me, the only significant thing that can come out of it is, okay, what's John's angle? What's going to happen to John? Because he said, I think on Monday, so he was like, six appearances left.
That's right.
You know, so what are those six appearances going to look like? What's the angle going to be for those final six appearances for John Cena? How are we going to drag that? Are they going to do a stretcher job to write him off TV? If he's only got six appearances left and this thing needs to stretch out to
and
December?
Brock, like, is Cena going over clean over Brock?
Yeah, because, like, presumably Brock's back. Right. It's not just a one-off. He signed an actual contract. So I've got some questions, and they can go a number of different ways, but I don't know how many of them are truly going to be shocking or be things that the WWE fan base is truly going to care about. But it just struck me looking at these cards. We've got a lot of different directions to go, but it kind of feels everything's just going to be chalk, and we're not really going to have outside of a new women's champ because we have to.
Gina, by the way,
I don't know how many title
changes we're actually going to have this weekend. October 11th, Crown Jewel in Perth. November 11th Raw, November 17th Raw, November 29th Survivor Series, and then December Saturday Night's main event. And that's it.
and we still don't know the opponents there. And right. maybe that will be revealed after Saturday, whether he wins or loses against Brock. Maybe we'll find out who's next. But from an AEW standpoint, so
don't say that.
What?
Oh, who's next?
Well,
no.
Guess what?
I'm sorry. I read too much into the comment. That's on me. You know, I just heard it, and I got defensive. That's on me. Hand in the air.
I apologize, Goldberg. one more shot. and then he loses, and then there's a 5-minute, you know, press conference, and they fade off. They just blacken the screen. So long. So from AEW standpoint, just real quick, like there could be some people that we haven't seen in a while that can come back. Don't know how significant that would be as far as the wrestling landscape, because they do this all the time. People that we haven't seen in a while, they come in after the show, during the show, and it's like
Britt returning.
That could help, but to take on who? Mercedes? Seen that before, haven't we? Okay,
I would assume Mercedes. Or Tony? I would say Mercedes.
There you go.
But who knows for sure? All right, we got a lot of things we got to get into the show, and first up, we got to dive into a friend of our show's who's going to be wrestling for that AEW World Championship, Kyle Fletcher. We caught up with him earlier this week.
We're celebrating 200 episodes of Good Karma Wrestling along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN. Hang on, wait for your turn. ESPN West Palm. It's Brian Rowitz. I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago. And let me tell you about Saturday, September 20th, AEW All Out from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central Time. And think about this. This is going to be on HBO Max. How about that? How about that, Brian? Not only YouTube and Dave & Buster's and Amazon Prime, but also HBO Max. This is big, isn't it, Brian?
That's right. And that's why we have to bring the guy that might be taking home the world title. Not even might be. That will be taking home the world title.
Come on.
Definitely take the future world champion. Say his full name, Hood. Do it. Yes. He's waiting for you.
The prototype Kyle Fletcher, our TNT champion, as Fletcher will take on Hangman Page for the AEW Championship. Now jump in. How are you, sir?
You got my name wrong. The protostar, mate.
The protostar. Jeez.
Protostar Kyle Fletcher with us
this
here.
This guy. Come on. I was so fun. I got to be here for 200, and you fucked up my name, and now I'm not excited anymore.
Great.
Welcome, sir.
Well, now I'm just not excited at all. You ruined everything.
Oh, well. Well, thanks for your time.
Of course.
We are so excited about All Out. Tell us about it, man. Hangman Page, that face-to-face in Philadelphia. Yeah, yeah. You could cut the tension with a knife.
Hell yeah. No, I mean, you got to think about it, man. I've been dreaming about this day specifically for my whole life since I was a fan of pro wrestling. You think about when you want to get into pro wrestling, you think about that big first world title win and what it's going to look like. So I'm only a couple of days away from it, which is pretty surreal, man. I'm excited.
How crazy is just the timeline of it all? Like, you are a few years removed from singles competition not really being a thing. So how surreal is that part to you?
Yeah, no, I mean, everything definitely happened a lot quicker than I probably assumed. I think I always kind of knew this is where I was going to end up. I didn't know what the path was going to look like to get here. But yeah, I mean, the thing about wrestling is you really got to take those opportunities and run with them when they come. So I think, yeah, I got presented with opportunities and I just smashed him out of the park every chance I got, and it's kind of like a big snowball effect, and somehow we ended up here. I don't know.
Kyle, does the company feel different? John Moxley carried the championship the way he wanted to, and now here comes Hangman Page. How different does the company feel now that Page is the champion?
Yeah, I feel like with Mox as champ, it was definitely, I think he did exactly what he set out to do in a lot of ways. I don't think a lot of people liked it at the time. They were like, we want to see someone else, but I think he did exactly what he set out to do. He was waiting for someone to step up, and Hangman, he really found himself throughout that process, and he turned into the world champion that AEW has needed these past couple of years. So yeah, I think he the company feels very different with him at the forefront. It feels like almost we've come out of this cloud of darkness almost that was the Moxley championship reign, and everything feels a lot more hopeful. We have this momentum now going forward, and we just got to keep capitalizing on it, honestly.
We've talked about it on this show. There is some room at the top of the card. Ospreay's hurt. Swerve is hurt. So that just means room for guys like you to step it up and run with the ball. Does that happen organically, or is there a talk backstage saying like, hey, here's some holes, someone take it? How does something like that come to be?
No, honestly, I think it comes down to people taking it upon themselves to show that they can step up when they need to. I think I've kind of shown throughout this past year since shaving my head, turning into the protostar, that I can really step up when the time calls for it. So I think, yeah, I think I've proven that time and time again. So when there are those holes, when people get hurt, which is inevitably going to happen, you look for that person that you can trust to fill that spot, that person that you can put in the spotlight, and you know that they're not going to crumble under the pressure. So, yeah, I think I was the perfect person for it.
Our TNT champion, the protostar, Kyle Fletcher from the Don Callis family with us. You think, Brian, that Toronto's talking about Vladimir Guerrero or Max Scherzer or like Grady Dick? They're not talking about those guys. They're talking about AEW because it's going to be in Toronto.
I have no idea who those people are.
AEW All Out in Toronto, 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Amazon. You know, watching that that promo that you had with Hangman Page, you know what, Kyle? What? I think that a lot of people can kind of understand where you're coming from just in regular life. It's like, yeah, you know what? You're good, but you're not ready yet. Yeah. We'll give you that promotion, but you're just not ready yet. How real does that feel for you, for your career? Like, yeah, you're good, but you're not quite on that level yet.
Man, I've dealt with it ever since I started in pro wrestling. I think I started training at 14 years old, which super early, whatever. Ever since then, it was, yeah, we want to put you on shows, we want to get you in some matches, but you're just not there yet. You're just not quite there. And then it's followed me everywhere. It's like, oh yeah, you're a tag team wrestler, like you're not quite ready for this, or like, oh, you're not quite ready for New Japan, you're not quite ready for AEW, you're not quite ready for whatever. And it pisses me off, man. It pisses me off when I work so hard to be the best version of myself possible, but people who have no right telling me what I can and can't do, tell me I'm not ready for it. And it, hearing it from Hangman's mouth, from the world champion's mouth, it's just lit that fire under me. It's put that chip back on my shoulder. I've heard that my whole life and my whole career. And all it makes me want to do is prove people wrong. So this Saturday, all I want to do is prove Hangman wrong.
It's sort of along those lines, pro wrestling, maybe more than other sports. The older guys and girls, one of their favorite pastimes is to shit on the current product, guys and girls. Yeah. How do you, as someone that's been on the receiving end the last few weeks, how do you receive some of that stuff?
Look, I think being so young and in this business, you're always taught to keep your mind, your ears open. You can always learn something from everyone. So I think that's always what I try and do. I think a lot of people will jump on these guys and instantly be like, they don't know what they're talking about. I think you have to kind of give them some merit and at least hear them out. It's hard when it doesn't come from a genuine place. And I think a lot of these people, they just do it for the clicks. They do it for the whatever. They have their own opinion on what wrestling should be. And that's fine. Everyone has an opinion on what wrestling should be, but it doesn't mean it's the right opinion. I'm happy to listen to anybody, listen to any critiques that they have of me. That's fine. I'm 26. I'm still trying to figure it out. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, I'm trying to figure out who I am. So yeah, you know what I mean? I'll take everyone's advice, but I'll choose which ones I actually implement.
You know what's funny about this, Brian, Kyle, is like every generation shits on the previous generation. Like it happens all the time, right? You know what they said about the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express? There's like those guys move too fast.
Oh yeah.
You know what the previous generation said about Harley Race because he had a diving headbutt? That guy's too theatric. He's too much of a clown. He was 7-time NWA champion, the traveling champion, wrestling over 300 days a year. Yeah, Harley with the headbutt, you know, coming from the top rope. Yeah, a little bit too theatric. So it happens all the time, Kyle. It's not you. It just happens. No, that's just the business, isn't it?
I think people are so caught up in the what they grew up wrestling being and what when they were a part of wrestling, what it was, they're not ready for it to evolve. They're not ready for it to move on. And I think it's just proves that the train has left the station for them. That it's passed them by. You know what I mean?
We'd like to ask you, is everything okay with Sky Blue? She had like the match of the year against Toni Storm, which is amazing, but then she was on Collision. So I guess she's okay. How's she holding up?
She had the time of her life. She could not wipe the smile off her face after that match. She loves it. She loves those kind of matches. So, yeah, she's stoked, man. She's great.
Remember we had her on the show. She told us that she's been told she's not around sharp objects, and then we see what happened this past week. So
how do
you watch that as a fan? How do you take in that type of match in the 2300 arena?
Oh, man, I think for me, just knowing Sky so well and knowing what she loves and knowing how much she just always wants to be in those matches. I think as much as to me, I was wincing and like trying not to look at some points, it's just like, I just know that she's having the time of her life out there. So I think for me, yeah, it's just, I watch it with a smile on my face. Cause I just know she's having an absolute ball.
Kyle, we're not just some show. You've been on here 18 times. And so you got to give
35. What are you talking about?
So we want you because you're the best representative for AEW. Yeah, so of course. We just need to know about Don. What is, give us a story about Don lately. Something that you haven't told all the other outlets. Give us something about Don. Cause everyone asks you and you give the ancillary answer. We've read your answers. It's like, it's a blow off answer, but now you're home. You can give us something about Don because Don is getting so much heat and boy, like he's amazing. But what have you heard lately about Don? A story he's told you, something that you could tell us.
Well, one of the funniest things he's been doing lately, he's whilst we were in Philly, there was, I don't know why, but he was obsessed with this one steak restaurant, but it closed way earlier than the shows would finish. So it'd be the middle of the show. He's about to go out for his segment and he's sitting on the phone. He's calling up, ordering this steak to be delivered to the hotel so that he could eat it 3 hours later when it was cold when he got back. I think that's probably the funniest Don thing that I can think of from recent times. Yeah.
Cold wow. steak.
Yeah, it was a good steak, I guess, man. I don't know. Oh my God.
You are a fan of this business, and you are days away from being on the same card in Canada as Cope and Cage, as Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. How cool is a moment like that for you coming up this weekend?
Oh, man. It goes back to when I got into wrestling. One of the first wrestlers I ever saw was Cope. And then, oh man, growing up and seeing Christian win his first world title and everything, and now just being co-workers with these guys, it's insane. It's very surreal. The amount of times I'll have a conversation with one of them and I'll walk away and I'll just turn to Sky and I'll go, I just had a conversation with Christian. I just had a conversation with Cope for like 15 minutes. That's crazy. It's just, it's very surreal still. Yeah.
So, Kyle, this is episode 200 for us. I would have taken the under. I can't believe we're here for 200 episodes.
Hey, congrats.
Could you give us some advice on how we can stay on the air for another 100?
Just keep getting me back on. You'll get the views, brother.
That's a good point. And we could book ahead. He could be the old guy in a few years that's then shitting on the current product.
Let's go. Who are we going to sit on next?
Somehow, I don't think you'll ever. Well, maybe you will. I don't think you'll shit on the next generation. I don't think you will.
I think I'll be so fed up with people doing it to me that I'll just have to. It'll be
circle of life.
Yeah, exactly. It's someone's going to do it.
You're just going to stack up championships, and then you're not going to be in this forever, right? I mean,
yeah. I don't know, man. I can see me doing it forever. At least till the wheels fall off. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's one of the pillars. We talked about it a few weeks ago, because I believe Swerve brought it up, about the new pillars of this company. I think you are one of those four. Who else do you put in that list that you're building AEW around right now?
Oh, man. Me.
Uh-huh.
Ospreay. Is it Swerve and Hangman? I think Takeshita. I'm gonna need like eight at least. Come on.
That's a lot of brick and mortar. You say yes, it's eight.
Hey, we got too much talent, bro. I can't cut people out.
Okay, so is Darby, is that part of it?
Darby has to be. I think Mox still has to be, man. He's super important.
MJF.
Give me 10. Give me 10.
Yeah, no, okay.
All right. Tony Storm.
Uh-huh.
The Young Bucks.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, man.
That's a lot of people.
I know.
So what do you got? A jammed roster. It's hard.
It's hard when you have a roster as deep as we do, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lastly, we appreciate your time. Tony Khan has addressed it, and so we're just wondering from you, how does the locker room feel knowing that, hey, you've got other organizations bearing down on you. You're going head-to-head sometimes. How does that make you feel that it seems like every time you guys take a step, someone is just trying to get in your shadow, in your spot?
Man, I think it's good business practice from the other team. You know what I mean? I think they're trying to squash us. But for me, I just look at it. It puts a chip on my shoulder. I know that this Saturday, we have competition, and my goal is to go out there and have one of the greatest professional wrestling matches of all time so that people go, oh, nothing comes even close to that. Nothing comes close to AEW pay-per-views. So yeah, that's all it is. It lights a fire under me. All I want to do is go out there and do the best that I absolutely can so I can squish the other guys. You know what I mean?
So HBO Max, first time on pay-per-view, Amazon Prime, YouTube, Dave & Buster's, and so many other places where you can check out AEW All Out from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, 3:00 Eastern, 2 Central. Don't you dare miss it. No Blue Jays, no Raptors can even be as hot as this show on Saturday. We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for all the time that you give us on Good Karma Wrestling.
Absolutely. I'll be here anytime you guys need. I'll be here for 300, 400, 500, whatever you guys need.
And a big thank you to Kyle Fletcher. What is that? Is that five times?
Yeah. I think he said 36. I believe that was the number, right? I think he said 36 times. Yes, and indeed his name is the Protostar.
Yeah.
Right? Not the prototype.
Protostar
Kyle Fletcher, which I bungled. That's what happens. You have JR driving the show.
I'll wear that one.
Yeah.
It's on me.
Yeah. So,
I'll wear that one.
Yeah.
But again, then we also had an opportunity to catch up with earlier today. He is the NXT champion, going to be fighting for the TNA championship in a winner takes all match against Trick Williams next week on CW. We caught up with Obafemi.
Welcome into Good Karma Wrestling, along with Brian Rhodes from ESPN West Palm. I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago, and we can't wait. No Mercy taking place in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You can always catch NXT, by the way, on the CW Network on Tuesday. We have the champion, the NXT champion with us, Obafemi. So happy to have him with us here on Good Karma Wrestling. Champ, as always, we appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me, guys. I really appreciate being here.
Yeah, man, we want to talk to you about how life is for you right now. You got the championship, and you've got the world by the tail. How's it feel right now to be Obafemi?
I mean, it still feels normal, the same way it felt, you know, 2-3 years ago. It doesn't really change. You're still you. Like, it's always a better view and experience from outside the box than inside. So it still feels the same to me. I understand that I'm doing great things, but I'm pretty neutral right now.
You rewind the clock maybe a decade, you show friends and family this version of Obafemi, who's a track star, who's shot put, all that sort of stuff. What's their reaction to this version of Obafemi?
Ooh, 10 years ago, when does that put us? 2015?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I had already started throwing around that time, so maybe they believe it.
Okay. But even this top of the game, like professional wrestling?
Maybe, you know, okay. I showed signs of being great at shot put like very early on. Like the raw talent was always there. Mm-hmm. And I'd already started doing great things at 20, you know, end of the year 2015. I'd already done some national trials and championships, and I've done very well. So maybe they believe.
See, Brian, here's what you don't know about the Black family. We could be at a certain level, and then they'd be like, oh, that's good, but what else do you have in mind? Do you have another job? Get yourself a trade. And it's like, no, Mom, this is what I want to do. I want to be in entertainment, right? You know, sometimes you just have to show them, right, Ovil?
Oh, yeah, 100%. People always get this question. It's like, oh, how easy was it convincing your family that you are going to wrestle? I was like, listen, it was harder to convince them that I was going to throw a metal ball far and make money from doing that. That was always going to be harder. So that's easy. The shot put part was the hard one.
Okay.
No Mercy takes place at the War Memorial on September 27th. The champ, Oba Femi, with us here on Good Karma Wrestling. Oba, tell us about the state of NXT. Being on the CW, and we've had Shawn Michaels on here before. Shawn says it's the best 2 hours in wrestling. How do you take NXT right now? What do you think of the company?
I mean, I agree. I agree with Shawn in the sense that, like, the brand is doing the best work it's done forever. I mean, we're on the CW network, which is huge for us. Our partnership has been going on for the first year. We're going into year two now, so we're expecting very big things. And I do understand that there is an era of NXT in black and gold, which is like revered by the fans. That's what they remember. But it's very hard to understand that right now we're doing a lot better than back then. You know, the version of NXT that is romanticized by the fans is not even doing as well as we are today. I do appreciate, you know, all the effort that the Black and Gold brand, you know, put forth. Like, without them, there is no NXT today. But we have to understand that this right now is the best 2 hours of wrestling on television.
Well, then what do you guys have to do on a weekly basis to differentiate and say, hey, we're not the Black and Gold, we're not 2.0, we are our own version of NXT? What are some of the things you guys have to do to continue that?
So, of course, the Black and Gold era was defined by, you know, the introduction of a lot of the independent wrestlers that came with all the experience and all that. It was fast-paced action and, you know, it was bang, bang, bang. The main roster has a little bit of a slower pace where it is more entertainment-based and more about the moments and stuff like that. So I believe that NXT today has found a way to successfully merge the two, because there's people who are like, it's too slow, I want more action. And there's people who is like, this is too fast, we need more stars and moments. So NXT right now is the perfect combination of both styles, where you do have stars, big stars like Oba Femi and Trick Williams, and you still have that fast-paced action by Oba Femi and Andre Williams. So this is the best version, the best possible version of NXT that we can have.
So Ricky Saints is in the company, and he talks a lot, and he wants to be able to get your championship. What do you think of Ricky Saints as a performer?
I mean, I'll say this about Ricky. He is an intense human being, a bit of a hothead in my opinion, but I see his passion, I see his drive. I don't think he's, you know, Oba Femi by any means, but I do think he's a respectable star in his own right. He's coming for the NXT championship just like everybody else. I don't get offended by people who want to, you know, come and challenge me. I embrace the challenge. But I'm going to prove to him that his level of talent has been severely overrated. I don't think he's as special as everyone makes him seem to be. And at No Mercy, I will expose that for the better.
Your style is special in the fact that your size, your speed, it's not a combination you often see in professional wrestling. Who is someone you watch, past, present, even future, you say, okay, let me get some tips from this person because they're sort of comparable to myself?
I mean, Undertaker, Triple H, Brock Lesnar, those were the guys that I grew up watching. And like, even when I started doing professional wrestling myself, I was like, okay, who can I watch? Who is comparable to me? I do understand that I am my own thing. Mm-hmm. But like, you can always pull inspiration from, you know, from superstars of the past. And I feel like those names I mentioned were the guys who were able to merge those two styles effectively. And I was able to draw from them.
Oba, when you are in the back and you're talking to former wrestlers or agents that's working in WWE, who do you talk to as far as trying to even move up a few steps as far as wrestling is concerned? Someone that you confide in, advice that you get from?
The immediate ones, you know, Shawn Michaels, Coach Bloom, even Ivar, you know, he's helped me a lot. We have like big man sessions together here. We'll watch matches and go over stuff. So those are the immediate ones. And then, of course, guys like CM Punk, they always come down to NXT to help out. So when they're here, anything I can ask him, and, you know, pull, because he's in a very unique spot where he's done everything. And it's not like, oh, he's an old timer, like his time is gone. No, he's still like actively in it. So like if there's anyone to ask questions, it's definitely CM Punk. So I, you know, maximize his availability the best as I can. And those would be the names that I go to for my, you know, information.
Brian, do you hear that? Big man sessions. Okay, yeah. So in those big man sessions, do you have a class on how to break Javon Evans in half? Because you've done that several times. What's that class that you break him in half through a table twice?
I mean, I specifically come to work trying to find new ways to destroy that man. But
all right.
Oh, my God. That poor bastard.
You know,
I mean, I know it's bouncy.
That's what we study. We're like, oh, how can we, you know, cripple Japan in going into the next match?
What does it mean to that locker room to have the guys like Punk, even Ivar, that, like you said, are in it? They're doing it day to day, but they're still taking the time to come back and talk to you guys. What does that mean to the locker room?
I mean, it's definitely appreciated. I mean, there's definitely guys who don't understand what it means, because to them it's just, oh, go CM Punk is here. But, you know, they don't understand the unique position that he and Ivar are in, that in the sense that they've had, you know, 20 plus years of wrestling experience, and they're still doing it. You know, that's a unique spot, because Sean and Coach Bloom and all those guys and Undertaker, they still come around, but, like, you know, they retired, they're done. You know, their era has passed. They're not active in it. And CM Punk and Ivar are active in it, but some guys understand, you know, to the degree of how important that is, and some guys don't. But I'm sure in the general sense of things, seeing CM Punk here is greatly appreciated by the locker room.
Oh, but we all have goals and dreams. So when you take a look at that WWE roster, who would you like to take on that dream match? Like, yeah, when I take on this person, it's going to be lit.
I don't know how I feel about dream matches. I'm not crazy about dream matches. I mean, everyone says Obafemi versus Gunther would be good, and I believe it will be good. So I'll throw his name out there. For some reason, Randy comes to mind, because he's one of those ones that, like, I would love to walk him, and I would love to be in the ring with him, you know, before the twilight days are done. But I'm not really crazy about dream matches. Does it make sense? You know, like if I asked you your dream match, it could be, you know, someone who has passed away versus someone who is active today. And let's even assume the old timer is still active. Is it the version of the old timer that's in your mind that is around today? Probably not. So I don't know about dream matches. They're not my thing. I don't like to fantasize. I just do what draws money and makes sense.
So, Brian, you know mine, because we talked about it on the show before. And I got Obafemi against Moose.
Uh-huh.
But there's still more on the bone with that. That can't be done. There's more to come with that, I would imagine, somewhere down the line. When I saw that, I was talking about that for months on the show, and I finally got it. I'm like, this is what I've been looking for.
I mean, that's one of the few ones that, you know, that actually did make sense and was possible. And that moment was very much about the fans. Like, even just as much as it was for me and Moose, you know, to have that match, it was more about the fans. Because for an entire year when I was doing my North American Championship reign, the fans were clamoring for it. And, you know, Obafemi versus Moose. And to see that dream and, you know, actually, you know, be realized, amazing.
Well, Hood mentioned goals. A lot of people in this profession, the goal is the main event of WrestleMania. There are a lot of people out there that say Obafemi is a future WrestleMania main eventer. When you hear stuff like that, how do you take it in?
I try not to let it, like, get to my head, because you're never as good as you think you are. You're never as bad. You're never as good as they say you are. You're never as bad as you think you are. So you always have to find that, you know, that balance. And amen, one day, hopefully, you know, it will happen. Mm-hmm. But I try not to, you know, dwell on that, because, you know, sometimes when you tunnel vision, you forget to experience the journey.
This is our 200th episode of Good Karma Wrestling, and you're part of it. Do you have any advice for us to keep going to 300, maybe 301?
I mean, obviously, like, I would say this. think of the most interesting, crazy questions you can ask, and I think you'll get there. I mean, like, but good questions go a long way. That's all I'll say.
Okay, just so you know what that means, Brian, just be entertaining.
Right, yeah, be like Obafemi is what he's saying.
That's exactly right. NXT No Mercy comes to Fort Lauderdale, Florida at the War Memorial on September 27th. You can watch it on Peacock, and don't forget NXT on the CW every Tuesday. Champ, it is a pleasure to be able to talk to you. We hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me, my friend.
Big thank you to Obafemi again. Catch him on the CW fighting for the TNA Championship while putting his NXT Championship on the line in a winner-takes-all match against Trick Williams. The winner of that will go to No Mercy and take on Ricky Saints. But it is GKW 200. And to celebrate GKW 200, we welcome in the man who put all of this together. You can catch him on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. He's also the Vice President of Content at Good Karma Brands. He is Evan Cohen. We had him on for GKW 100. We bring him back for GKW 200. The man who put this show together, put the three of us together to begin GKW 200 episodes ago. You can listen to him as part of Unsportsmanlike 5 to 9 on ESPN Radio across the country. He's also the Vice President of Content for Good Karma Brands. He is Evan Cohen. Evan, we always appreciate the time. I guess we're looking for some new direction, because when you joined us for our GKW 100, you said, hey, I want you guys to have Shawn Michaels. That should be the goal. Well, we had Shawn Michaels multiple times on the program over the last 100 shows, and now you're on a run on Unsportsmanlike. You guys have had Seth Rollins and Michael Cole and the Undisputed Champ Cody Rhodes on. So who should we be shooting for in the next 100 episodes?
John Cena. John Cena. Sorry. Well, first of all, sorry, I thought I got disconnected there. I apologize. So, first of all, congratulations, guys. This is awesome. 200 episodes is amazing. And for all of the viewers and listeners of the show, I can just tell you that these three are so committed to this, love this, and are awesome in doing this. So, congratulations to you guys. You guys have made me look good in that my belief that this was a thing that people would want, this is a thing that people would consume, and this is a thing that was needed, and you guys have all done it to your credit, and the relationship that the three of you have built is awesome. Normally I give all of you crap for different things. This time I'm going to be serious on this. So first of all, congratulations to you guys. Second of all, the WWE ESPN partnership, boy, have we lucked out. As a wrestling fan like I am, not to the level of you guys, but as a rest, like the residual effects of really important people negotiating a contract with other really important people have been amazing for Unsportsmanlike, because Gabe, you mentioned it. I mean, you got it wrong, but you mentioned it in this week of what we've had here in Seth Rollins, in Bron Breakker, Cody Rhodes, Triple H up next. This has been an insane week for us, and I can go through all of these conversations with you if you'd like. But yes, I think the idea of you guys getting John Cena, I mean, he's saying goodbye to the game. I don't mean Triple H. Saying goodbye to WWE. He's saying goodbye to everything that is wrestling. And I think he's the biggest guest right now that you can get.
I would agree that the relationship with WWE and ESPN has been off the charts. I never thought I'd see just regular Raw and SmackDown highlights on SportsCenter. So that's a real partnership, Evan.
Jay Hood, can we talk about that for a second? Because you and I, off the air, have gone back and forth. We are in disagreement on Unreal, the Netflix show, right? You, as an old school wrestling guy, don't like the kayfabe. You don't like this. You want to be surprised with storylines. You never want to know what goes into the writing. You don't want to sit there and talk about, you know, how the heel turn took place. With that said, while you are praising the partnership, is it weird for you as an old school wrestling fan? And do you feel like it's almost, and this is odd to say, it's too mainstream?
Well, here's what I'll say. I like the idea that professional wrestling is mainstream, because every promoter from New York to Oklahoma to Georgia to Florida and all the other places in which there was 38 to 40 places to work in the 70s, 80s, 90s, they wish they had that acclaim. It's more than just, hey, we're on for an hour and we never get on in the newspapers. We never are able to get promoted. So this is ideal for wrestling, that it's in the mainstream, that they have so many partners. I mean, Kay Jewelers is a sponsor for WWE. Maybelline is a sponsor for WWE. So in that case, yes, it's great. But as far as the inner workings of it, I've always been that way for movies and TV shows. Don't tell me about it. Let me stay in the moment as far as the character. Then afterwards, if I want to see something about the characters or the making of, that's fine. But while it's happening right now, let me believe. In the content business we're in right now, I know that our listeners and viewers want to know more about the three of us, the four of us. But you know what? You learn who we are in the moment. At some point down the line, in an interview or someplace else, in the making of Unsportsmanlike, you'll learn, but not in the moment. You want to learn more? Keep tuning in every day. And same thing with wrestling. Keep watching every day.
I get it. I just think that the business has evolved in a way that so many more people are clued into the business part of it. And I am fascinated by the relationship. Like, one of the things I think I saw, it was a Braun Breaker this week. When I said, you know, back in the day, what was it, Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Iron Sheik? Sergeant Slaughter and whatever that day was, that moment where they got pulled over in a car for whatever reason, right?
Yes.
And it was like, hey, you're not supposed to be together. And I was asking Braun Breaker about the idea of, okay, with the Vision, like, do you have to hang out in real life with Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed and Paul Heyman? Or, like, could you hang out with the Usos? Because that's the kind of stuff that's now crossed over, right? Like, they don't keep away from each other because they're against each other, one faction or the next. So I think the whole business has evolved in that way.
In terms of the backstage stuff, how much does Seth Rollins hate you?
Yeah, I don't know why he hates you. So basically, unfortunately, that's a good question, Brian. So I used the word arguably with Becky Lynch this week when I said, you know, your wife is arguably the greatest wrestler of all time. And I got confused thinking that movie was about her when it wasn't about her. I forgot the name of the movie.
It was about Paige, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fighting with My Family?
There you go.
Yeah. So he wasn't thrilled about that. I couldn't tell if he was trying to be in character or if he was just, you know, playing around with me. I would say that Cody liked me a lot better, that's for sure, than Seth did. But, yeah, he was not a fan. But I'll tell you, can I just bring something up? Because it happened at the end of the Cody interview, and I know Brian caught this, and I'd love to dive into this with you guys if possible. May I ask a question here to the great GKW hosts?
Please.
Yeah, thank you. So I said to Cody, no. So I'll ask Justin to Gabe and to Brian.
No, please go right ahead.
Okay. So, as we're talking to Cody, and obviously I know the backstory where he left WWE and he kind of, in essence, started a one-man business, right, during the time that he was away from WWE.
Yes.
I said, 10 years from now, do you want to be Triple H? Which is a weird question to ask because, again, back in our day, you never thought about who else could run the company. You never thought about succession plan because it was always in family. And I know technically by way of marriage now it is. But I look at Triple H as someone who was in the business who now runs the business. I don't look at him as the son-in-law of the person who ran the business. Maybe I'm wrong to do that. And I started wondering, could Cody be that guy? And he said he would think about it, he would be interested, but he immediately went to Punk, who I love. Punk was amazing with us when we had him on. He immediately went to Punk saying he's better at training young wrestlers than anyone. He said Seth Rollins could be in line for that too. If I said to you guys right now, one active current WWE superstar would ultimately take over creative for Triple H, who would it be?
Ooh.
He also mentioned Roman, which is the weird one, who doesn't typically go for work.
Okay, so the answer is Cody. But Evan, you were not privy to this before the interview. Cody Rhodes has been on with us several times. He's as polished as any quarterback that you hear in the NFL, right? He's got all the polish.
Right.
He's got it. So you'll never really know the real answer from Cody Rhodes because everything he's got the suit, he's got the persona, and he's QB1. He's got so this is who he is. Kind of like his dad that way, very savvy. Dusty was very much the same way. The answer to the question is Cody because Cody has a wrestling school. So he's already training wrestlers. He won't tell you that, but we know that. So it's really Cody because he was doing that in AEW. So he's number one on the list.
But Jay Hood, and I want Gabe and Brian to answer also, but let me just follow up on that. So just because you have a wrestling school doesn't mean you'd be good running creative and running the fit. Seth Rollins has a wrestling school in Iowa. I mean, John Cena has that. Like, I don't necessarily believe, knowing way less than you guys do, I don't think Triple H runs the company. Forget who his father-in-law is. I don't believe that Triple H runs the company because he knows how to wrestle or would have a wrestling school. I think his innovations that he's done is why he runs the company. And that's why, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you think it's all about NXT and it's all about Shawn Michaels running that. I don't know. Okay, so that's your answer. Gabe, Brian, what do you think?
My answer, I think Cody would certainly be on the short list. I have always thought that Kevin Owens has a tremendous mind for professional wrestling. And again, he's out right now, so maybe you don't think of him. But I think in terms of putting together a show and storylines and things that make sense, I think he would put some really good thought and really good care into what the product is because of his passion for pro wrestling.
He did not mention him, but Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, I had KO also. The other one I already mentioned, he mentioned Bailey from the women's side, is Charlotte. Talk about mind for the business, like literally growing up with Ric Flair. I don't even know if she actually likes the business that much, but I feel like if she got into it that much more.
The one part, Evan, is that Cody already has experience in doing this.
Right.
I mean, so going back before AEW was built, Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer told Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks, there's no way on your own as an independent entity that you could fill a building of 10,000 fans. They did that in Chicago easily, 10,000 people independently. He had the headset on also helping run AEW. So he already has the experience in doing so.
And also he referenced that today as one of my favorite parts. He mentioned him leaving WWE. He compared it to the Lion King. When Simba goes away, meets Timon and Pumbaa, and then he comes back to be king. He said that was Cody. And I'm like, never thought of it that way. That actually is a really good comparison.
The Young Bucks are Timon and Pumbaa?
Yes, they are Hakuna Matata. Okay. The Bucks are Timon and Pumbaa. Cody is
Brian. Brian, do you remember what I said when he referenced that?
No. I just remember what he said.
I didn't say anything because I've never seen The Lion King.
You have children.
Wait, that wasn't like part of the training when you signed on with Disney?
You think you're supposed to see the... What do you mean? You work for Disney too. Did you watch The Lion King, Gabe?
I've already seen it. I don't need to.
You also have children, Evan. Gabe does not. Like, and granted, I've seen Lion King way before I had children, but like, how?
Wow, Gabe's on another level, I guess, than me. That's the reality, I guess. He's above me. Let's just go back to one other thing. During the Attitude Era, even though those running the company now were part of the Attitude Era, did any of us ever bring up, hey, one day these guys are going to run it?
No. Absolutely not. Those two?
Yeah, my God.
Especially those two.
I know, but my point is, this is the part of the business that I actually like even more, which I know, Jay Hood, you're turned off by, is that, like, everyone knows this stuff. People thought Vince McMahon back in the day was just a play-by-play guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just right. all the inner workings, like, the fact that I could literally drop, oh, do you think that Cody could handle gorilla position, is something that, like, people would understand now in a way that is so much different. And the crossover appeal, as you said, of the SportsCenter highlights of, like, oh, Cody's on Get Up and he's on with us and they're on First Take. And, I mean, Paul Heyman is legitimately part of First Take. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, but to Hood's point, because I also have never seen a second of Unreal, but I've seen clips on social that go around.
Yeah.
There are ideas that are pitched that ultimately didn't go through. That there's one with the Women's Rumble specifically that I don't even want to spoil. That would have been amazing if we ever saw it. And now if we see it, it's like, oh, yeah, we already knew that was a possibility.
And the whole my whole overarching point about this is that they have a show called Unreal, and guess what? What I'm watching is Unreal. It's actually Unreal. It's a Seinfeld joke. The Unreal is actually Unreal. It's not even what they're showing us is not even all that we need, that we should know, or that we actually do know. What they're showing us is Fakakta also.
Back wow, good Fakakta reference there. Oh, well,
never
done.
Mind. He so turns in 10 minutes later.
So basically, what you So what you're saying? Wait, Jay Hood, you're saying that Unreal is a coffee table book about coffee tables? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah,
exactly what he's saying. Yes. Big thank you to Evan Cohen, who wanted to stay longer than he actually did. Maybe we'll put some of that out in a digital only. That'll be like a YouTube short or something. We'll put out some more content. But what do we have this week?
All right, it was official. WWE in 2027, headed to Saudi Arabia. So, of course, stories starting to come out. One of them being that Dwayne Johnson might be a part of WrestleMania 43, and they're willing to fork over the money. Also, Brett Lauderdale of GCW says Saudi Arabia has reached out about The Collective, which is the group of indie shows that usually run WrestleMania weekend, going overseas and being a part of Saudi Arabia Mania.
I guess if the Saudis pay for it, that's the only way I can see that, you know, that happening. They have enough money to pay for it. Otherwise, if a lot of those companies say, no, we don't want to do that, someone's got to put together something stateside, whether it's down in New Orleans, whether that's in Chicago, whether that's, you know, in a number of different wrestling hotbeds. Somebody needs to do something that weekend to kind of fill that hole that everyone's going to have stateside. Because I can't imagine too many people from the States are going to make the trip.
Absolutely not. You know, they're not doing that. And so I find it interesting that Triple H would greenlight. I know maybe it's not his call, but I think that the people in Saudi Arabia understand, like, it's one thing to have WrestleMania, but maybe everyone's not into it. So we're going to need other indies, kind of like WrestleMania weekend, to come in and kind of supplement the income and add to the aura of WrestleMania weekend. I mentioned this before. There should be some kind of wrestling Woodstock. I'll just use that as an example in this country while WrestleMania is happening in Saudi Arabia. It's a great opportunity for Tony Khan. I don't know if he'd be has a stomach for it, but imagine GKW and Starcast and WrestleCon, and we're all there broadcasting from whatever city that they choose. Chicago's a good spot. LA's a good spot. Dallas, just all come to be able to have all the indies to be a part of something special. You don't need WrestleMania to have a great time with all the indies all at one time. As Brian will tell you, who's left WrestleMania, not even go to WrestleMania, just there just for the indies.
A dream weekend for me, a WrestleMania weekend with no WrestleMania. I'm in.
Well, just think, what if AEW ran a show that night?
Nothing else on.
Like you're reversing it, right? There's nothing else on. It's going to be on the middle of the day. Just like they've always moved to the afternoon, they can go prime time, and I think that would be an interesting business
right there. Finally, news and notes. Some free agency news. Andrade is a free agent again. Him and WWE have parted ways. There are reports there were some wellness violations during his time there. Apparently not happy with some of his booking and just didn't show up to some shows. So Andrade, a free agent.
You know, maybe that opens the door for the Lucha Bros to finally get back together. Because again, it didn't make sense why you put Rey Fenix in a tag team. Although, shout out to Rey Fenix, had a great match with your boy Sami Zayn on SmackDown. Shocking, right?
Yeah, with Andrade, I know people say, "Oh, go back to AEW. He should be in the Indies. That's what he should do. He should be in the Indies. Make your money there. Going back to AEW, being in the same spot does not help." His ex-wife was in WWE. I don't know if that was a factor in some of the issues that he had being in the company, but I think it's best for him to be doing the independent shots because he's a tremendous wrestler, just can't get himself over the hump.
Yep.
If you happen to miss any of today's shows, any of the interviews, make sure you check it out. The YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. A lot of clips, a lot of things happening over there. So make sure you subscribe and comment on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. Wrestlepalooza, All Out, all happening this weekend. Enjoy it all. We'll discuss it right here next week on GKW.